If you have any questions about your car, truck, or SUV, from tune-ups to tires, give Fred a call at 215-949-3232. And now it's time to go under the hood with Fred Fletcher.
America's mechanic in action, ladies and gentlemen, with a microphone in his hand and loaded for bear.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to roll, man, I tell you.
It's been an interesting week.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that it seems like they come in bunches or something, right? It's wackiness.
Well, it seems like the bunches are coming closer and closer together. The bunches are bunching up.
Yes, that's right. Was it the old Paul Lynde line? What's the rat race going? The rats are winning. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
215-949-3232. You want to get in on the conversation. Fred, looks like, what's that, War and Peace over there with all the,
yeah, well, that's,
all the scammers
that's
going
on? This week's recalls list. So,
man.
Yeah, no, it's
a lot of people
good,
messing it up out there.
Yeah, well, I want to put out a couple PSAs before we get on recalls. Right. But I had a customer come in this week. Some people saw it on Facebook already, but I'll tell the story for people who are not on my Facebook or any Facebook. A customer took their car to the dealership. I'm not going to say which dealership,
okay,
but it's local. Had their car checked out, took it in for a recall. That even adds insult to injury. Took it in for a recall, and she said, while you're here doing an oil change. And they said, okay. Well, they, as they always do, they offer a free comprehensive checkout,
mm-hmm,
which is fine if you're going to do it right. But they check everything over and hand her a list of all the stuff that she, quote unquote, needs. And it was $4,651.
Oh, just another drop in the bucket. Yeah.
So she says, well, no, don't do anything, just the oil change and fix the recall. I think it was a backup camera recall. So, so it wasn't even like a critical, like, wheel falling off recall.
Starting sweating already here.
So they list out a bunch of things on here, and I'll let me see. I got pictures of the estimate on my phone here, so let me pull that up. One was fuel injection service. Now, this car is a 2021 with 28,000 miles, so it's not a lot of miles on it. Right. And this is an older person, you know, doesn't drive much. Let me go to that okay, screen, and there we go. It's service fuel injectors. Perform electronic fuel injection service, $217. Throttle body service, which to me is included in the fuel injection service, was another $122. Now, I know everybody has their certain ways of doing things, but that's just a little crazy. Then, on top of that, there is a fuel induction service, which is when I did the research on the fuel induction service, because I thought that sounded fishy. It's the same thing as a fuel injection service.
Oh, just repurposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, front suspension concern, which she never had a problem with, or she never had a thought about. But they said front suspension concern, lower ball joints, leaking grease, which can cause premature failure. That particular vehicle does not have grease in its ball joint. It's a nylon bushing inside there, so there is no grease. There's an assembly lube that they put in there, but that's not grease. Brakes and rotors, four-wheel alignment. Brakes and rotors, they were $750, which is a little higher, but, you know, I'm not even going to say that's egregious.
Yeah.
You know, but it's higher.
It's a little over the line.
Yeah, it's over the line.
Yeah.
I'm probably about, for brakes and rotors on the rear pads, and maybe about $450, you know,
that's
depending
right
on what quality of, you know, brake that the customer requests. Brake fluid flush at 28,000 miles is ridiculous. $217 for that. Engine concern. Valve cover's leaking. I checked it out. Valve cover's not leaking at all. Not
okay,
anything at all.
So we're making it up as we go along?
That was $800. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's the fuel induction service.
Yeah.
Here's the one that really kicked me. Was I'm looking over and they said that mountain balance four tires, $1,139.25. Now, that probably wouldn't be so crazy.
$300 a tire.
Right, wait, it gets better. It gets better. I wouldn't say that's probably not too crazy for four tires, but this is for the Mountain Balance only. Customer will pick tires with the service advisor and discuss pricing for the tires at the time. So that's $1,139 for a Mountain Balance without the tires.
Without even,
So with the tires, it's probably adding another $1,200, $1,000 to that. So, yeah. So, and so we looked over everything. The only thing that we could find, or even rationalize, because even try to give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe something's starting to wear, was the front tires. Two tires, down to 2/32, which is legal limit for inspection. Not even that, you know, it's not even like a super safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting there. But we're going to do the two tires. So we are, we're going to do the two tires. So we basically, by her pulling the car and being, you know, conscious of what happens out there, she pulled the car. She saved herself over $4,000.
Oh, man.
So, but I'm thinking to myself, how many people don't know what goes on? And maybe they're playing the law of averages. If they do it to 10 people, two or three may say, okay, so there you go, Homer.
Yeah. And your mechanic in town wouldn't know anything. I mean, caveat emptor kind of thing. Yeah.
But in the long run, the seven people that they don't get the job from, like this person, is going to talk crap about them, like, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And
So
the long run is you're going to lose those many more customers instead of just doing it fair and keeping all 10.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So. The scorched earth policy. Maybe they won't find out. And they also think that they're too dumb to know. So guess what? That's the way it is everywhere, everywhere.
Yeah, if it was, like I said, an older customer, and they might have tried to scare the crap out of her to put the fear of God in her. And
thank God, we got Fletcher's Garage and some of the hometowners that are right there, access, and you can actually talk to them.
Yep.
And guess what? And I can have it back for you in 2 days if you got to get other transportation. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Yeah. Just before I came here, one of my friends/customers, mm-hmm. her daughter lives out in California. And she has a Mazda, so I'll throw them under the bus. It's California for one, so.
Oh, dude. Oh, so, you need the brake lines.
She showed me, her mother showed me the estimate that she got, and it was like a carbon copy of this.
Oh.
It came to over $4,000, and I'm telling you, I said, and hers is a 22 Mazda, so I don't know how many miles are on it, so I probably shouldn't say all that, but. If it's like she took it in for a noise, which they said was a strut mount, which may or may not be. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not in California. Never will be again.
Yeah.
So it's out there. So you got to constantly be on the lookout for these kind of.
On the flip side, too, these dealerships also, you know, sell cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you think after one of these things that somebody would know something, there would be the sales of cars at the same time. There's collateral damage there, Fred. I mean, one department goes to the other. Hey, you're a guy selling cars. You've got a lot of hurdles to.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would think there's a lot. It should be fair.
Yeah, right. I mean,
you want to.
Yeah.
You want to sell cars, you know, just like you're going to have a bit. Even I'll say, okay, independents have been around for a long time. But I don't remember back when we were kids that the dealerships did that. I may be wrong. I may be remembering wrong.
Oh, you're definitely not, because.
But we live next to our Ford, the Ford salesman.
Yeah, right. The place where I grew up still has some of the same Ford. You know, they've been there for 50 years. And they didn't do it by doing this stuff.
Yeah, same as, you know, growing up in Ewing, we had Keats Ford, and they were there forever, and we knew everybody there, and the parts department was fantastic. But, yeah, I can't imagine the service department really hosing people this bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't remember it. And then having to walk around Ewing and without getting stabbed.
Yeah. So, right. Well, yeah. The collateral damage of it is the shop owners that knew somebody was not playing according to Hoyle, would run them off.
Right.
You stay away from these guys.
Yeah, stay away from these guys.
And they put the hex on them, and they're out of business.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, because of the corporate world nowadays, I hear a lot of stories about this.
And one of the reasons they did that, because they didn't want their reputation smashed. You know, say, hey, we're not everybody oh, yeah. doing the same well, thing here.
Yeah, Keats, they lived in Ewing. I think they lived up in Mountain View. All the people, all the salesmen, parts guys, everything, all lived in Ewing or right around the area. So we all knew each other. Same as Cathcart Pontiac. My uncle worked as a salesman at Cathcart Pontiac. Yeah. Gilbert and Mott Chevrolet, which later became Ed Cahill Chevrolet.
I remember that.
I mean, you know, all of them. I mean, we knew everybody, and everybody knew us. So it was like, you know, it's just, it's a different world nowadays, so you really got to be on your toes.
Yes, yeah. On your brake pads.
Yeah.
Let's pump the brakes on that. You know. By the way, how are they looking there?
So I think the corporate world is really... change things, and they just look at the quotas. Like, oh, we need to make $3 million this month.
Yeah.
Okay, go to it.
Yeah, it's always Robin went in there just to get the oil change, and they started with the stuff. Just do what I tell you to do, I've got somebody in my back pocket here that I can use at any time, and you really rely on the shop owners. You know, they're also in the community. I also have kids going to your schools.
Right.
Apart everything. Just,
yeah, no.
I mean, everything.
I live in Falls Township.
Tied together.
Yeah, I live in Fairless Hills. I live a mile from my house. It's like, I mean, from my shop.
Well, you recommend a neighbor that's, you know, had car problems. I know where you could take that.
Well, I don't want to be out mowing my front lawn and having stuff thrown at me as I don't want to hide when I go shopping
that
with
new
Giant.
That new tank that you bought, is that running?
So,
oh, God.
But, no, it was just... To be fair. If you need it, you need it. If you don't, you don't. If the price is expensive, that's the way it is. You know, but you don't have to totally sell services and parts that they don't need. And it's just crazy how things go.
Yeah.
And, again, I blame the corporate world. And then speaking a little bit of a change of gear.
Okay.
Still speaking of corporate world, I had a customer come in with got towed in, AAA.
Right.
Needed a starter. So we diagnosed it as a starter. I call up. They have a warranty on it because it's a pricey job because you have to pull, half the thank you engineers pull half the engine apart to get to the starter.
I know you hate engineers.
So I call in the warranty company. The guy's like, okay, yeah, that's a good price. Yeah, that's a good price. Yeah, that's a good starter. All right. Wait a minute. We have to send an inspector out. I'm like, and this was Friday. I said, why do you have to send an inspector out?
I read that, yeah.
Yeah, why do you have to send an inspector out for a starter? He goes, well, it's policy. I'm like, well, I can get this car done today. Have the customer driving.
No, Fred, you can't be doing that.
And, they'd be back on the road, and it's all done. He goes, no, we have to have the inspector come out and verify it. So I was like, when's he coming out?
Is it pretty close?
So he says... it'd be 24 to 72 hours from Monday. And I'm like, wait a minute. Well, this customer needs their car back. What are they going to do for the weekend?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, there is a provision in their policy for a rental car. I'm like, now let me get this straight here. Did I just really hear this? Okay, I might not see this inspector till Wednesday. So you're going to have pay for a rental car for 5 days. for an inspector to come out and say, yeah, it needs a starter, when I can get this done and it's $550. So now you're going to spend $1,050 paying for a rental car, the customer's out their car, and the inspector just going to come out and tell you the same thing that I do. He goes, it's policy. That's all you can say.
Well,
it's policy.
You know, why don't I just fix it, send them on their way, and whatever. But then you have to...
You can't.
Yeah.
Because you open yourself up to a loss. I mean, plus you're doing an unauthorized repair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't. My hands were tied.
Yeah.
I mean, the customer can offer to...
Yeah, play by their rules.
Well, now, this particular warranty company, if the customer paid me in advance so they didn't get their car back, they're open to getting screwed by the warranty company by saying, oh, well, we never authorized this repair, so we're not going to pay you. So the customer's hands are tied, too.
That's true.
So this is what...
they got you coming and going.
So
they just spent
over $1,000 for a rental car for 5 days. The guy came out, looked at it, he goes, can you hit the starter with a hammer? I'm like... You're going to come out here and all the way from wherever you came and ask me to hit the starter with that, which I can't do anyway because it's under the intake manifold. He goes, well, I got to show some kind of power going down to it. So we did. We showed him the fuse was good and as far down as we could reach the wire. And he's like, okay, starter's bad. All right.
Thank you. Yeah. Yep, that's what it is.
Now, that's the common sense of the corporate world, and this is why things are so expensive.
Yeah.
And it really grinds my gears.
I tell you what, put these guys in the supply chain there. You'd be waiting for weeks.
I have a feeling that inspector knew nothing about cars.
Yeah. Yeah. May have been
I've had them.
Yeah.
I've had them.
Maybe a nephew of somebody that's coming in.
Just they hire whoever they can get it nowadays. I mean,
what are you inspecting? I don't know.
Yeah. I had that once before when I was in New Jersey. The customer took a car through inspection in New Jersey, and they failed it for universal joints, and which I didn't back then even I didn't think they checked. But anyway, they failed it for that. Customer brought it to us. We put new universal joints in there. I took the car back up for the customer and ran through, and the inspector says to me, because he's looking over the printout, and he's like, excuse me, what's a universal joint?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you guys failed it? You don't even know what they are?
Yeah. Universal joint, man, dude. That's like some Cheech and Chong sounds like a Cheech and Chong movie there. Universal joint. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, come on.
Man.
That's what's out there.
Oh, boy. And we should be thankful that there are the shop owners out there that actually call you at home when your car's ready. I know that's kind of freaky now these days, yeah. but I have that. And
yeah, it's funny, the one that
you've done that.
The first one I was talking about, the first incident I was talking about, she had the list, and she said she was going to give it to us when she dropped it off. Somebody told her not to give us the list, because we're just going to agree with the list and sell them the same stuff cheaper.
Mm.
She said, you don't know Fletcher's.
No, they don't.
If you whatever I'm going to need, they're going to tell me. Whatever I'm not going to need, or whatever they think I'm going to get hosed on, they're not going to do it. So.
No.
And that's the way it is. And that is why I'm busy. And, I'm sometimes too busy.
Yeah, it's a kind of a backwards compliment there that they're trusting you, but unfortunately, some people get caught in this web of deceit or whatever you want to call it.
She came in for the reason of a second opinion, so
yeah.
I need to know what I'm up against. She could have brought the car into me, and I would have came up with the same answer. You might need two tires in a month or so.
Yeah.
That's the same. It doesn't matter whether she gives me the list or not, but she came in for a second opinion, and I need the list, so I know what I'm going up against, but that is the way of the world, and I'm happy the way I do business. We're doing fine.
But every once in a while you think that maybe nobody's listening or not paying attention, but eventually, sometimes people will surprise you.
Yeah.
And I heard about this, I read about that,
especially
I do this, and guess what? They're not as successful as they once were with
the scammer. The week before, people were like second guessing us and stuff like that, which is fine. If you have questions or whatever, that's fine.
They more or less gummed everything up, is what they did.
After being with me for all these years, to have some customers question me or second guess me or doubt me, it was a little bit insulting, because I've went out of my way for some of these customers that have had questions for years and years, and you're saving them thousands of dollars. And if I tell you need it, you need it. If I'm wrong, I'll stand behind it and tell you I was wrong. And if it's a part or labor that we did something wrong, I will stand behind it, either reimburse you or take care of it, make it right. And it's been that way for 40 years. So it was before that with my dad.
Yeah.
So.
True. Yeah, when it was a badge of honor to do it right. Now it seems like Shortcut City, and you're. You also fight the information or the half-truth. It's kind of the truth, but not really.
Yeah, I was talking to...
You can't really nail them. It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, before I came over here, I was talking to one of my customers that was waiting in the waiting room while we were doing an oil change, and he said the same thing. You guys are up against YouTube master technicians. And, you could put out a symptom, and you'll get 15 different things from 15 different guys, and maybe one of them's right. So, he goes, you guys are fighting against that because the customers are still feeling like, all right, it's on the internet, it must be true.
Yeah.
So, and if I tell them something different, there's something wrong with me. So yeah, then we have there's a lot of things, and I don't want to sound like a sourpuss like I usually do, but there's a lot of things that go against us right now. And then,
yeah, and they also like target seniors. I think they do that. I mean, being one myself, this guy's driving this 62 Rambler Ambassador. What the heck does he know?
They don't know anything. Trust me, if it's a 62 Ambassador,
yeah.
I do.
We all do. Yeah, but they've been driving their cars for a million years and whatever, or have gone other places. And guess what? You know, there's CarMax or whatever the heck it was. You can just deal with them. And,
yeah.
You know, you just and they don't give you a problem. And that's
right.
There's a lot of good things going on, but somehow it's you're up against the tide here.
Yeah, I have a couple of internet car sales and dealers. CarMax is not one of them.
Yeah.
Carvana's been pretty good. I've heard plus stories and pros and cons from each one. I've had a couple of dealings with them. I've sold cars through Carvana for my customers, usually through my lawyer because he's trying to settle estates and they have no clue on what to do, so I just set it up for them. And they've actually paid pretty well. I checked on mine, maybe trading the Yukon in, but they're not offering me enough, and I like my Yukon, so I'll keep it. And plus, I'm afraid of what's out there with the newer, anything 2018 and newer.
Because
as we're going to touch on here in a few minutes with these recalls, that's why I'm scared.
That's right. Bad news doesn't travel.
I really like some of the new Yukons or whatever, newish Yukons. I'm not going to buy a new one because it's $84,000. But, if I could have found one, $40,000, $45,000, which still makes my head crawl. But,
I'm always afraid of somebody that's getting into the business and as being a mechanic, you end up at the showroom and you really get tainted by some of this stuff. And there's a lot of people around there that probably don't want to put up with that stuff. And they're leaving. I can't. How do you keep? How do you keep a
technician
staff
it's very hard at the dealerships. Very rarely do you see a guy with more than 5 years experience anymore.
They either figured it out or had enough of it, or can't sleep at night.
That comes out, unless you're totally unscrupulous. They have a pretty good rollover out there. On the other side, I've hired some dealership technicians who've told me the horror stories.
Yeah.
And it is bad.
Yeah.
But they left for a reason, but they still held on to some of their work ethics, and I had to let them go because they're still not enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine you do have faith in people when it comes right down to it. I do. I still do. That when you give them the facts, guess what? They'll make the right move.
You just got to find the right people.
And it seems like they get away. Everybody gets away with it, and then all of a sudden, boom! Then they get somebody snagged. And
it's funny because some of the technicians, will do what the dealership service advisor, service writers, ownership says, and then when things go poo-poo, it falls on the technician. It's like, why'd you do this? Yeah. I worked at a shop for a year before I bought it. In between dad and dad, or dad and me.
Yeah,
it was a flat rate shop. And I used to see these guys write up stuff because we got paid by the book time and not what the job cost. And these guys would write up everything in the world, whether they needed it or not, because they was like, oh, this is going to be easy. This is going to be easy. I could pick up 4 hours here. I can do this. And I'm like, yeah, but they don't need them. They're like, and I did well working flat rate, but I worked four cars at once. And these guys would be working on one, maybe two.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're making us look bad.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I'm making you look bad? Because, you're doing 65 to 70 billable hours a week, which was great, great money. But I was actually doing it the right way.
Yeah, pardon me.
And then, I wasn't selling stuff. I was just working harder, I guess. Huh. And
the mediocre are always at their best. Remember that. Remember that, Fred.
We'll put it this way. After I left, the whole place went under 6 months.
You know what you're doing and stuff like that, Being America's mechanic is a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
I could not do what they were doing and what they asked me to do, and then it was like, no, I can't. And it's just like...
I would feel bad for the techs that are coming out of tech schools and want to do it right and want to, put their signature on the good work, and then you end up with this nonsense, and you might be losing a lot of very qualified people because of this stuff.
Yeah,
because
they've been ruined.
Yeah.
Coming out of school.
Tainted, yeah.
Yeah, ruined coming out of school and getting into these places.
It's perceived as a crooked, fixed business. And everything's in, the fix
and that's
in.
The thing. I said that I did an America's Mechanic video with Craig yesterday, and we were talking about this, and I'm saying that I've been fighting this, you know, mechanics are like one step above lawyers.
Yeah.
You know, with the trust, because a lot of shops and a lot of dealerships.
Now.
That's your problem.
Yeah, no, it is.
You're
right.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to fight this for like 40. I shouldn't say fight it, but work against it, and it has worked for me in a way. But I really hate the fact that people walk around with, you know, like, I'm going to the mechanics, I'm going to get screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, man, woe is me. I don't want that feeling. I want people to come in and, like, and I always say this, too. I don't sell people stuff. I tell them what's wrong, and they can buy it if they want.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be semantics in there somewhere, but I'm not a hard sell. I'm just going to tell you, you need brakes and rotors. Okay, do you want them? I'm not going to say, oh, you can't leave because I've had that and I fired them. You can't leave because you're going to die my family's out on the road with you and I fired a guy for this.
Like fear of God in there? Yeah.
Yeah. My family's out on the road and I don't want you riding behind my car. You know, I'm like, no, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You know, you're not talking to my customers that way. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I just inform you and you make your decision.
Right.
I respect your decision either way. Whether you think I'm too high and you have to go somewhere else, because I am not the cheapest. I'm not planning on being the cheapest because I was once, and it made things very tough to service the customers the right way.
Yeah.
So I'm not high. I'm right in the middle, maybe on the low side of middle. But we are in a comfortable position where we can service the customers the best way that needs to be done and still make a living.
Yeah. It's just got to be a customer code of conduct somewhere in there, too, because sometimes...
I wish.
Just the way you treat people. I know you've had your expediter there. I had to go through hoops and everything else, and then the guy just sort of trashed it, the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
And it spent a lot of hours... Mm-hmm. Wasting time, which you don't want to do.
Yeah, right.
Now
I'm just going to throw the customer out.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
Conform or be chucked.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm getting to that point. I'm in my 60s now. I ain't got time for that crap.
Remember Chico and the Man?
Yeah, I'm going to be the man.
Guess what you do is you go, it's not my job, man. That's what you're going to end up doing.
Well, I'm going to be Jack Albertson. I'll be the grumpy old man. So.
Yeah.
But real quick before we go, I wanted to take on just a couple of recalls since I have this list here. Ford just had a recall this week. And it was 300,000 trucks and SUVs, including Navigators, Broncos, and Rangers, due to a brake defect causing loss of power brake. So you can still stop, but you're going to need 10,000 feet between cars.
Oh.
Because when the power brake assist on these electronic brakes nowadays doesn't work, it's impossible to stop.
Yeah.
It'll get there, but it's impossible to stop. Key has had another recall, fuel pump failures, and it causes fires, and that's not good when your fuel pump catches fire.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No. And Ford has a recall on rear view cameras. I'm not a big deal, but they're having a problem with those. Mercedes S-Class.
Well,
you wouldn't have any problems.
Yeah.
Speaking of lawyers driving Mercedes.
Well.
Failing brakes.
Man.
Yeah, they have there's just a bunch of silly things. One, where was the Subaru has one where their lower control arms are just falling off. They're braking on falling off. Yeah, that's not good. You lose your steering. So you can check with the NHTSA, the Safety Administration, see if your car is under recall, put your VIN number in, or even your license number, your tag number at this point. Hyundai Elantra 2019 and 20 Elantras, 226,000 vehicles for engine stalls and fires. 21-22 Santa Fe's, also transmission issues.
Santa Fe, there's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And, for a while, Hyundai was good. Now,
Santa Fe is more like it, yeah.
Yeah.
There
you go, Bill Redner. 30 Genesis. Actually, he had this problem in his other car.
God.
This just came out, though.
I can't believe that.
The recall's 30.
I got
30.
Sales to make. I can't be. I got a car.
His digital gauge cluster failure. Yeah. Bill had that on a previous one. He traded his car in because of it, because they couldn't figure it out. So this recall just came out. So, sorry, Bill. You bought a new car.
Yeah, well, you lose.
You could add it back for a recall.
Oh, brother.
But, there's a lot going on, so check in. I put a lot of this stuff on Facebook, my Fletcher's Garage Facebook page. You know, check us out. We'll keep you informed as best we can.
All right, so stay tuned. We're going to go for the Days of Thunder here, coming up here on WBCB.